Morning. Blessing to be here, always with you. It's always a joy of mine to open God's Word with you. And let's do that as we continue worshiping the Lord this morning. Open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. We continue to study through the disciples' prayer in our study through the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew, chapter 6 this morning. We're going to look at your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, but let me read to you Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we return to the disciples' prayer, we are reminded that this is a model prayer. This is a pattern for prayer. And that all of the elements of what we should be praying for and praying about are all found in the disciples' prayer. Remember, I had said a few weeks ago that this prayer is less than 70 words. It is brief, it is simple, yet in so many ways it is profound. When we pray, our focus, our attention should always be on God's glory. That his name would be magnified. So no matter what we are praying for or what we are praying about or who we are praying for, we should always be praying and asking God to glorify his name, to make his name known. And I think that we can miss that as we pray. We can forget that as we pray. Remember, so often when we pray, we tend to just rush right in and pray for the things that we want and rush right back out. Instead, and here's what we are to do, we are to focus on God's glory as we pray. I want you to focus on God being glorified and to rejoice in him and to delight in him and desire to see his glory be put on display, and that we would pray that as we pray for the spread of the gospel. We pray for disciples to be made. We pray that God would be bringing to himself his sheep so that they would worship him. Now, as we've studied, remember we come to our Heavenly Father, the one who cares for us, the one who protects us, the one who provides for us, the one who loves us. We come to our Father who is in heaven, the one who is holy and majestic and high and lifted up. We also have looked at praying for your kingdom come. So we're praying to our Father who is in heaven. We're praying that his name would be magnified, and we pray that his kingdom would come. And we pray that, remember, as we pray for the salvation of sinners, as we pray for the sanctification of the saints, as we pray for the second coming of Christ. And this morning, our focus, our attention as we pray is on the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is to pray, Father, glorify your name. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your glory shine. Let your name be put on display. Let people see your glory as your will is done on earth. And that should be our desire. We know the will of God in heaven is done perfectly, joyfully, enthusiastically, completely, and how we should want and desire to see God's will done that way on earth. Now the question, and it's one that's asked very frequently, very often, is what is the will of God? And if we're going to pray, Father, your will be done, well, what is the will of God? Is it even possible to know the will of God? And if so, here's the question that many Christians ask is it possible to know the will of God for my life? And it's a good question. And I appreciate this question because when someone asks that question, there is then the desire to know the will of God, the desire to do the will of God. It's a desire to know God and to please God. It's one who wants to honor God with their life. I want to submit my life to God and to follow Him and to glorify Him, but I don't know what the will of God is, and is that possible to know? And it's interesting to me how Christians answer this question. Because it seems, as I hear how Christians answer this question, it seems that the will of God is lost and that we have to go about searching for it and trying to find it. And trust me, there are many ways in which Christians are trying to find the will of God, trying to understand the will of God. Now, some Christians will say there really is no way to know the will of God for our lives. It is secret. It is hidden. And they quote Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. There's more to it than that. But see, there it is. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. So God's will for your life is hidden. It's secret. And you have to go about trying to figure it all out. John MacArthur, in his very helpful book, Found God's Will, puts it this way. To them, that is to those who believe you can't find the will of God or have to go about searching for it, can't know the will of God. To them, God must appear to be a sort of divine Easter bunny who has stashed his will like eggs somewhere out of sight and sent us running through life trying to find it. And he is up there saying, you're getting warmer. Others offer the suggestion that God's will is to be found via dramatic experience. Running down the street, you fall on a banana peel and land on a map of India. Immediately you say to the Lord, thank you for the clear leading. I understand India. It is. Or there is always the voice from heaven, or the vision in your dreams calling you to Chile. Then there are those who are actually afraid of the will of God. MacArthur says, I'll never forget the athlete who came up to me at Hume Lake Camp and said, I'm not sure I want to give my life to Jesus Christ because I'm afraid of what he will make me do. He had the idea that God wants to take robust athletes, break both their legs, and make them play the flute. This implies that God is kind of a cosmic killjoy, stomping on everyone's fun and raining on parades. People with this view actually fear the will of God as a severe way of life that will demand the sacrifice of their most treasured abilities or possessions. End quote. So there are many who view the will of God differently, many who struggle with knowing what God wants to do, wants them to do with their lives, and wanting to know what God's will is, but just cannot seem to find it. And certainly it is true that there is the sovereign will of God. That is what God has decreed and ordained before the foundation of the world, and that will come to pass exactly as God has ordained and decreed it. That does belong to God and to Him alone. Now, I can know after the fact what God has decreed. For example, I know it was God's sovereign will for me to marry Katie. How do I know that? I'm married to Katie. I mean, this is what God had decreed before the foundation of the world. And it was one of the greatest gifts he could ever give to me.
Amen.
You just got to insert that, you know, or else I'll be in trouble. You know what I mean? So we can know after the fact what God has decreed. But listen to the rest of Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of the law. Look, this is pretty simple, isn't it? If you want to know God's will for your life, then know the Scripture. Read the Scripture. If you're going to pray, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you want to know God's will for your life, then go to what God has revealed. And what he has revealed is found in the Word of God. If you want to know the will of God, you'll find it in the Word of God. It's really that simple. You and I don't know God's hidden will or his secret plan or what he's ordained before the foundation of the world. That belongs to God and God alone. That's not for you and for me to try and figure out. Instead, we have the revealed word of God, and we know what God has revealed about his will and his plan and his purpose for our lives. And we should be far more concerned with reading and studying and knowing what he has revealed in his word and trying to just figure out his secret or hidden will. Andrew Murray wrote this: the great mistake here is that God's children do not really believe it's possible to know God's will. Or if they believe this, they do not take the time and trouble to find out. What we need is to see clearly in what way it is that the Father leads his waiting, teachable child to know that his petition is according to his will. It is through God's holy word taken up and kept in the heart. End quote. So when we pray, Father, let your will be done, we are praying that we would submit our lives to the Lord, to his word, and our desire would be obedience to his word. And I know that isn't easy. We like to do what we want to do. We want our will and our way at times, but when we pray, we are to pray, Father, let your will be done in my life for your glory, for your purposes. Father, magnify your name as your will is done in my life. That is how we should pray. Is this how you pray? When you pray, are you praying, Father, here is my desire. Here's what I would like to see happen in this situation, but I bow to your will. Father, let your will be done, because what matters to me is that you would magnify and put your glory on display. Let your will be done. We are to pray, and here's what I would pray, that you would have the desire to love the will of God. Pray, as you pray this, that you would have the desire and the passion and the zeal to love the will of God. Because that was exactly what Jesus did. That's how Jesus lived out his life. You remember in John 4:34, we've quoted this a few times, but John 4:34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So again, Jesus is saying, this is my food. This is what sustains me. This is what I love. This is what I desire above all. It's to do your will, Father. It's to accomplish your work. This was his joy. This was his delight. This is what he loved, to do the will of God, to do that which the Father had sent him to do. John 5, verse 30. Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. I don't do anything independently and apart from the Father. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus did the will of God. He did it perfectly. This was his passion. This was his joy. You remember again when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he accepted the cup of God's wrath to be poured out on him. He said, not my will, but your will be done. And for the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the will of God meant going to the cross, drinking the cup of God's wrath, dying in the place of sinners, and taking their sins upon himself, yielding his life in obedience to God. So Jesus, his passion is to do the will of God. And that led to the cross. So that you and I could be forgiven and reconciled to God, and the only way is through the death of Christ. It is by his death on the cross, paying the penalty of our sins. That is the only way you and I can be reconciled to God, is through faith in Jesus Christ, who died in our place and who was raised from the dead. And it's by repenting of our sin and trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. That is the only way that you and I can be reconciled to God. So as we think about your will be done, this should be our desire. Doing the will of God should consume us. I understand we will fail. We will sin. We won't always do the will of God, but that is what you should be passionate about. I know you're passionate about a lot of things in life, but be passionate about doing the will of God. And again, that means you need to know the will of God given to us in the Word of God so we can be obedient to God to glorify and magnify his name. So here's how you pray. Father, give me the desire to do your will. I desire, above all, Father, to be obedient to you, to submit my life to you. And the more that you become like Christ, the more that you are conformed to the image of Christ, the more that you know Christ, the more that this will be your passion. That this will be your desire. The more you become like Christ, the more that you will deny yourself and deny what you want. Because there's a lot of things we can pursue in this life. But we have to think about, is this the will of God? Does this glorify God? Does this magnify God? And in order to pray your will be done, this doesn't mean we pray in a fatalistic way. God, let your will be done, and whatever happens, happens. That's not how we pray. And some do pray that way. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. No, when you pray, Father, your will be done, that once again means that you are going to take the time to know and study and understand the Scriptures. And not only to know the Scripture, but then to apply the Scriptures. This means if you are going to pray, your will be done, you need to search and study the Scriptures diligently. So that you know the Scripture, so that you are able to apply the Scripture. It's not only about knowing the will of God, it is about doing the will of God. And Jesus makes this very clear. Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7. Jesus says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And we know that. It's not everyone who says Jesus is Lord, says they're a Christian, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. There are many who make professions of faith, many who say they're in Christ, who don't belong to his kingdom. Well, who enters? It is he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That one will enter. The one who enters is the one who does the will of God. Why? Because that is the evidence that this one is in Christ, that this one belongs to the kingdom. So hear this very clearly. We pray, Father, let your will be done. It's not just knowing the will of God, it's that then we will carry it out and actually do it. Look at chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 46. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. See, that's the one. This is the one that belongs to me. It's not just someone who hears the word of God. It is someone who is not only a hearer, but as James says, a doer. And this isn't about salvation by works. This, once again, is the evidence that one is in Christ. The one who is in Christ, the one who belongs to his kingdom, desires to carry out the will of God. Why? Because Jesus is Lord, and we submit to his lordship. He is king. And we, as believers, desire to be obedient and to please him. So as we pray, Father, let your will be done, we need to be able to know what that will is. So what is the will of God? So we'll get a little practical. I'll help you with this. Just give you a few examples. I would recommend John MacArthur's book that I mentioned. I would recommend taking Fundamentals of the Faith. Rich teaches through that, and there's one whole lesson on the will of God by John MacArthur, one of the best sermons that he has preached, and it's very, very helpful. But he says it's God's will that you be saved, spirit-filled, sanctified, submissive, that you would suffer and that you would say thanks all the time. And he goes through the scripture and shows you that is God's will. So let's just begin. I'm going to give you a few of these. I'm adding one myself, but let's just get practical. Here's God's will. If you want to know God's will for your life, it is that you be saved. This is what God has revealed in his word. It is that you are saved. This is what God has revealed to us. This is what God has given to us. And if you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, if you're not in Christ, well, here's God's will for you. It's that you would repent of your sin, that you would trust in Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. John 6:40. For this is the will of my Father. So there you go. This is the will of my Father. What is the will of the Father? That everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. So this is God's will for you if you're not a believer, that you would behold the Son of God, that you would come to the Son of God, that you would have faith in the Son of God, that you would have eternal life. There's God's will. So here's the point. Don't worry about and don't even think about God's will for your life if you're not in Christ. This is where it begins. Here's his will, that you would come to faith in Christ. If you reject Christ, you cannot know the will of God. You will not care about the will of God, and you will not carry it out. That would not be a possibility. You need to be in Christ. It's God's will that you be sanctified. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's God's will. By the way, you just go through the scripture, and there are explicit statements of this is the will of God. So that'd be a good place to start. Fascinating, isn't it, that people are searching for the will of God? And it's, well, here's the will of God. It's right there. It's God's will that you be sanctified, that you would be set apart unto God and set apart from sin, that you would be growing and that you would be maturing in Christ-likeness. So Paul writes to this church, verse 1, "Finally then, brothers, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God." So as he teaches them the word of God, he's teaching them how to walk, how to please God, how to honor God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. "For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God." And there it is. What is the will of God? It is your sanctification. And as an example, that is that you abstain from sexual immorality. There's one example of ongoing sanctification. But God wants you to be sanctified, set apart from sin, and set apart unto holiness. So if you're in Christ, if you are a Christian, here's God's will, that you would be growing and maturing in Christ-likeness. That you would be growing in holiness, in godliness. That's God's will for your life. It's God's will for you to be saved, for you to be sanctified, and here's one, for you to seek wisdom. James chapter 1. Very clear. But, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, what do? Let him ask of God. So here's God's will. You lack wisdom, what do? Where's the first place that you turn when you lack wisdom? And again, typically it's going to friends, it's going to family members, it's going this place, it's going that place. God says, here's the will of God. If you lack wisdom, go to him who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given him. And there's qualifications to that. You must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and stable in all of his ways. But we are to go to God, ask and pray for wisdom. And as we study the scriptures, he will provide that wisdom. Here's one that's exciting. It is God's will that you would suffer. We all love this one. But it is God's will for your life if you are in Christ. Philippians 1, verse 29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. That's God's will for your life. If you are in Christ and you proclaim the truth and you proclaim the gospel, you can be certain, we've read this in the Sermon on the Mount, you will suffer. But suffering helps us to draw closer to Christ. And we could go on. But those are just a few examples. This is how you know the will of God. You go to the scripture, you study the scripture, you meditate on the scripture, you pray the scripture, and you apply the scripture. God's will for your life or for you is not lost. You don't have to go searching and coming up with all of these ways to find it. It is found in the Word of God, and we have plenty of resources to help you in your study of God's Word. So if you need help in studying the Word of God, let me know. Let the elders know. We have plenty of resources to help you to study the will of God or to study the Word of God so that you can know the will of God. Now back to Matthew chapter 7. There is another aspect to this petition. Your will be done. Now notice, on earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will being accomplished in heaven? All of the saints, all of the angels are doing the will of God perfectly, with absolute joy, without reservation. Now listen to this, and listen clearly to this. You can pray, your will be done, and be very bitter about it. You can pray, your will be done, and yet be bitter and resentful about it. There can be, as one has said, a tone of bitter resentment when we pray, your will be done. This is not what our Lord wants. We can say, Lord, your will be done, and do so clenching our fists, being angry at God, not truly desiring to do God's will, but knowing this is what you're supposed to pray and what you're supposed to do. God doesn't want that. This is not the way it is done in heaven. You say, how does this happen? Well, you pray for something, and it doesn't turn out the way you want it to. And so you blame God, and you're angry at him. And that happens. Instead of seeing what has taken place as the good, sovereign purpose of God, of God for your life, the sovereign purpose of God working in your life, knowing that God is good and gracious and compassionate all the time, and knowing that God has worked this out according to his will for his purposes and his glory, you are resentful of what happened. And you are bitter about what happened. And so you may even pray, your will be done, but again with a clenched fist. So we have to examine our hearts. What is it that we really want? We discussed that this morning in Sunday school as Pastor Duane was teaching. He says, you must examine your motives when you pray. You must examine your heart when you pray. Do you really want God's will to be done? Or do you just want things to turn out the way you want them? You can pray, and I said this earlier, your will be done in a fatalistic way. God's will is going to be done, so there's no use in fighting it. My life is just going to be what it's going to be, so Lord, let your will be done. You can pray that way. You shouldn't pray that way. But that's how some Christians do pray. Kent Hughes puts the thought this way. God, I wanted things my way, but they're not turning out that way. So I shall turn them over to you, for your competitive will has more power than mine and will probably have its way anyhow. So teach me not to grumble too much about how things are going against me. That's how people pray. That's how Christians pray. This is, in fact, not only how Christians pray, but this is how some Christians live their lives. That's truly sad. Because the greatest joy you will have is doing the will of God. Why? Because you know God and you love God. And again, once you desire to see his name glorified and magnified, then you will desire that whatever situation, however it turns out, this doesn't mean there isn't pain and there isn't suffering. There is, but still there is that submission to God's will. Because you know he's working everything out for his glory. Or we could, and I desire this for you, I desire this for me, that we would pray, Father, your will be done, and we do so with joy, with gladness, without reservation, without hesitation, but that we would find our greatest joy in doing God's will just as it is in heaven. Read through the book of Revelation, and you will see glimpses of heaven. And what you will see is singing and praising and worship with joy and delight and passion. And what is that passion centered on? The glory of God. Magnifying His name. So people in heaven delight to do the will of God, and we can have that same delight right here. We can be like David in Psalm 40, verse 8. We read it this morning. I delight to do your will, O my God. You say, well, how can I pray that way? How can I enjoy praying your will be done and for it to be full of joy? And it goes all the way back to knowing that you are praying to your Father who is in heaven. It's knowing that your Father cares for you, that your Father loves you, that your Father protects you, that your Father gives what's best to you and knows what's best for you. See, it's knowing those things that's going to help you find your joy and your delight in praying, Father, your will be done. See, here's the problem. This is a big problem. It is when Christians pray, your will be done, they really don't know or understand who God is. See, that's the problem. Is so many Christians really don't know who God is. They don't see their trials as a means of grace. They don't see their suffering as from the good providence of God. They don't understand that God ordains all things, and everything that He ordains is for our good and for His glory. So you need to know who God is if you're going to be able to pray your will be done and not be bitter about it. So let me remind you, this is where good discipleship comes in. This is where good biblical counseling comes in. We need each other in the body of Christ, and we need to be discipling one another, because what you'll find as you disciple people is they're suffering. They're going through trials, and it's your job to point them to the Scripture, teach them who God is, and show them who God is so that they can rejoice in who God is. We need to open the Word of God to each other. Teach each other about who God is. You don't need to be bitter about God's will. You don't need to resist His will. Instead, you can grow in obedience to His will. How? Paul tells us in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove or discern what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. How do you renew your mind? Through the study of Scripture and by the power of the Spirit of God. This is how you do it. There are others who don't think it matters when we pray your will be done. Again, God, you are going to do what you're going to do, so it doesn't really matter what I pray about, what I pray for, because you're sovereign and you're just going to do whatever you plan to do. So since God is sovereign, and since God is going to do what He wants, it really doesn't matter if I pray at all. Now, what if we said that about evangelism? God has chosen each person that He's going to bring to Himself before the foundation of the world. So why go and preach the gospel? Why would that even matter? See, you have to understand God is sovereign, but that does not mean he does not use our prayers as a means to accomplish his ends. And that's exactly what God does. That's why in James 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So many Christians pray with an attitude of just defeat. That praying doesn't matter. It doesn't do anything. So who cares? Believers also pray, and they simply don't believe that God will answer their prayers. They just pray because that's just what we're supposed to do. Remember, praying is for God's glory. Praying is worship. Praying is to magnify him. Listen to how one puts this. When we pray, we do not change the mind of God as if he might have chosen wrongly. We act out the infinite wisdom of God in the midst of all the brokenness in front of us and welcome in the inscrutable goodness he had always planned to do through our prayers. We never change God's eternal plan when we pray, but we are called to pray and pray expectantly for change. We are to pray that the sick would be healed. We are to pray that the lost would be saved. We are to pray for all kinds of change in our hearts and bodies and our neighbors and our workplaces and our nation and the world, but never for any change in God. Christians pray, and whenever we pray, your will be done. Prayer is not an afterthought in God's plan. Prayer is not a plan B or a spare tire in case life breaks down. Under God, prayer runs the world. God does some of his most important work in the world and in our lives precisely because one of his children asked him to. End quote. So when you pray, your will be done. You can pray with confidence. You can pray with boldness. You can pray with joy. Yes, because God is sovereign and because he is going to do all that he has purposed and planned. Now we can pray, Father, let your will be done. Let your glory be on display. Accomplish your will for your glory. And that's how you are to pray this. So once again, let me just remind you this morning. If you're going to do God's will, I encourage you to learn what the will of God is. Find someone in the church and start to disciple one another. Find someone. Last week it was, the homework assignment was, take the directory and start praying through that directory. Find someone you don't know. Call them. How'd it go this week? Did it go well? Apparently not. So I encourage you to do that. And some of you did pick up the directory. That's good. But call someone. Now, here's your homework for this week. Find someone in this church and start to disciple them. You say, I don't know how to do it. Open God's Word with each other and read it. Get a good study Bible and start studying the notes together. John MacArthur has an excellent study Bible, some of the most extensive notes you can find. Purchase a copy of it. Or if you need a copy, let us know. We'll get you a copy of it. Sit down with someone, read through a chapter of the Bible, read the notes together, and there you go. You're on your way. It's your homework assignment. Find someone in this church. If you're not currently doing this, if you're not currently discipling somebody, that's your homework. Find someone. Start to read God's Word together. Start to study the Word of God together. And I want to hear how you're doing, so let me know. Okay, let me know how it's going. We want to begin to have more discipling in the church because if we're going to carry out the will of God, we need to know the will of God. And to know the will of God is to know the Word of God. So when you pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's not just simply repeat it or say it out of duty because this prayer is so well known. Instead, let us pray this prayer with fervency, with boldness, with joy. And let us truly desire God's will to be done in our lives so that he may be magnified. Let's pray. Father, this morning, We do come before you, and I pray, Father, that our desire would be to do your will. But Father, give us that passion. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ had that passion to say that our food is to do your will and to accomplish your work. Let our passion be seeking first the kingdom, your kingdom. Let our passion be to see the spread of the gospel. We desire, Father, for you to bring about salvation and redemption and eternal life. Help us to be passionate about the gospel, passionate about your kingdom, because we know that your will is for us to go and make disciples. We know that's your will. So help us to love your will, not resent it, not be bitter about it. We know, Father, we go through very hard situations and circumstances and suffering. And it's hard to pray at times, your will be done. But we know that in everything that you ordain for our lives, it's for our good. It's for your glory. And we may not understand all of it here on earth, in our lives. We must trust you and trust your word and trust what you are doing, your purposes. Because above all, Father, we desire to see you magnified, to see your Son exalted. So, Father, we pray, your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. And we know in heaven your will is done perfectly, joyfully, enthusiastically. Father, I pray that would be true of our lives. We know we can't carry it out perfectly. We struggle with indwelling sin, but we can do so joyfully, enthusiastically. Because, Father, we pray that you would continually give us the desire to see your glory on display. So help us as we pray, to pray your will be done, not our will. There's many things that we may desire and want, but I pray we would submit those desires to you. And again, that no matter what we are praying for and what we're praying about, we would pray, Father, only if this is your will for your glory, and only if this will put your glory on display. And help us, Father, to meet with each other and disciple each other and open God's word with each other so we can know what your will is as it's given to us in your word. So, Father, we pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.